Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really glad you're with us here on this Labor Day weekend in 2023. It's September 3rd already, and here in America, it's in the United States, it's Labor Day, so a lot of people have off tomorrow on Monday.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a time that's, it's actually the end of summer is what a lot of people consider this, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And
back in the day, school used to start after Labor Day.
Right. But now school starts, it started almost a month ago. Yeah. It's unbelievable. But we're really glad you're here with us this evening. We're here every Sunday evening on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. And we want to just give a thanks to Ray Powers for keeping us on the air each week and giving us all of these years that we've been on here. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been this long.
It really is. And you know, we really enjoy being here. We're glad that you listen, and we hope that you get a blessing and that you've learned at least a couple of things from all of the studies that we've done.
Yeah, it's I don't know how you can not read God's word and learn something, not learn something from it.
It's so true. It's so true. And you know, each time, Ed, there have been times that we've been here doing this program and we've seen something maybe we've never seen in that particular way.
Right.
That's the beauty of God's word.
Yeah.
It's the living word of God. And so would you mind telling the friends a little bit about Prophecies of Hope?
Sure. Prophecies of Hope. We're just a small little ministry located in Stanton, Virginia. We have a more of an online ministry than actually a physical ministry in Stanton. And we have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and that is available via Zoom if you're interested in joining us. And we also have currently a Monday night study about the sanctuary of the Old Testament, sanctuary services. And then on Sabbath or Saturday, the seventh day of the week, we have a Bible study at 9:30 in the morning and a regular church service at 11.
Yeah, so I want to apologize if there was a clunking noise once while Ed was talking. I turned my head a little bit. I wear these big clunky headphones, and it hit my microphone. So I apologize for that. But yeah, we would love for you to join us. If you want to contact, if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they email you?
You could email me. Ed@prophecyhope.com.
All right. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at the email address mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to visit our website, it's www.prophecyhope.com. Now, there's a series coming up.
Yes, September 2023.
Yeah, September 20 through 23, 2023, right? And that'll begin on a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
That'll be streamed live on our website.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. I would have forgotten that. It'll be streamed live Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. Uh-huh. And then on Sabbath, that Saturday morning, we have a guest speaker, Jason Hovey, who will be here. He'll be speaking at 11 a.m. and then again at 2 p.m. And that will all be streamed live.
Right.
And it's a prophecy series that has to do with understanding Bible prophecy. I've given a couple of lectures, if any of you have listened, on a number of lectures on Daniel chapter 2. And this one will be a little bit, you'll hear some similar things, but it's going to be a little different because I was working on this over the last few days, and I'm actually showing Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 kind of side by side. Mm-hmm. We're going to cover both of those chapters in one lecture.
Good.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about Daniel 7. We're going to go to Revelation 13.
Yes.
And then we're going to, Jason is going to tie in all of those things with Islam, and show us some things about Islam that actually are and some similarities to what Islam teaches and what Christianity teaches. And then he's going to show some differences in those things as well.
And also he's going to show Islam and Bible prophecy.
Yes, right? He absolutely is. And a lot of people find that hard to believe. But keep in mind that Abraham had two sons.
Yes.
Right? And so he'll go into all of that during that series.
We'll go into that when we get into chapter 9 of Romans.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah. So we didn't get very far last week because
I don't think so, as far as I can remember.
Yeah. So, you know, to get this study started, Ed, would you mind having a prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful for being here today. Grateful for your mercies in our lives. Grateful for your guidance. And Father, as we open your word today, we humbly ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand the things that we read in your word and for guidance by the Spirit of the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, last week, Ed, we talked about Jesus in a couple of different ways. What did we discover? What is Jesus to us?
He's our advocate. Mm-hmm. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor.
Yes.
And he's our comforter.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And we looked at a bunch of verses to show those very things.
Right.
And here in Romans, as we studied through, I think last week we started in verse 23 and went through verse, was it 27?
Yeah, I think that we spent a lot of time in 26 and 27.
Yeah. Did you want to just kind of do a review and then just take us into the next part of this study? Would you mind doing that?
Well, let me just start by reading verses 25 through 30 of Romans 8.
Okay.
And we'll cover the last couple of weeks that we were on the air.
All right.
Verse 25. This is the modern King James Version. But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, searching the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers. But whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified.
Okay. Now, there's a lot here
that
needs to be talked about. But there was a good question in one of our Bible studies that someone asked.
Okay.
And I thought this would be good to cover right here.
All right.
Because depending on your background or what your religious affiliation is, if you grew up in a particular Christian church or several different Christian churches, verse 27 says he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Right.
So who are the saints?
The saints are the followers of Jesus, the believers in God and his Son.
Yeah. Now, I know that, you know, I just got to be honest here. I know that sainthood, my family, most of my family is Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Sainthood to them is pretty exclusive.
Yeah.
And there are other groups that kind of feel that way as well.
Yeah. I'm not sure all the requirements, but I know after they have passed away, then their life is looked at, and they have to be able to have performed some miracle or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know all of the details to that either. But, you know, Romans chapter 14 gives us some information about the saints.
All right.
So let's just, Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, to me, when I read this, it identifies them. It says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus."
And that's Revelation 14,
verse 12.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, this is identifying that those who have the faith of Jesus, right,
mm-hmm.
and keep the commandments of God, if we do those things, we fall into this category of being a saint.
Right.
It sounds like that's pretty easy, but in the world that we live in, it can be a difficult thing.
Yes. Yeah, with everything going on, all the work of Satan in the world and in our lives tempting us, it can be a struggle.
It can. But all of the things that we've talked about in Romans show us how that we can become one in Christ Jesus.
We can become keepers of the commandments of God.
Yes. It's pretty amazing. And I think we'll see that more as we continue this study.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to touch on that. Now, was there another point that you wanted to make in the context of these verses? Because there's a word that I picked up on. You probably did too.
Yeah. I'm going to go around that word.
Okay.
And maybe we can get that to a minute. I want to talk about Romans 8:29.
Oh, very good.
Talking about being conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers.
Okay.
So God in his wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, which the God's wisdom is considered foolishness by the world.
Right.
But in his wisdom, he designed the plan of salvation that so that we could be conformed to the image of his Son.
Mm.
And Christ is the firstborn among many brothers. What is that word firstborn talking about?
Well, you know, there's a number of things we could look at. It depends on the context,
okay.
Doesn't it?
Right, yes, it does.
Now, I think all of us here know what firstborn means, right? If you have a firstborn child, you have two sons.
Right.
One of your sons is the firstborn.
Right. And in the Bible, the firstborn had special privileges and responsibilities.
Yes, they did. And
they were given the birthright.
And the firstborn wasn't always, in the Bible, the firstborn, was it?
There was a couple of cases where that did not occur, according to God's will.
Right.
But in the majority of the time, the firstborn was to be the priest of the family.
That's a very important point.
That was until the children of Israel came out of Egypt and God told Moses that he was going to have the Levites as his firstborn.
Okay.
Versus the firstborn of each family.
Okay.
The firstborn obtained the birthright, which was a special blessing from their father, but also gave them a larger portion of the heritage of the father.
Or inheritance, could we say?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so here it's saying that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers.
Uh-huh.
He has that birthright.
Yes, he does.
He is the only begotten Son of God.
Right.
We are adopted into the family of God.
Correct.
And thus we're become a brother of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, I want to say this, and I don't want to distract our study, but so many people understand that Jesus became the Son of God. Many Christians believe that he became the Son of God in a different place than what the Bible actually states.
Right.
God, according to John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son."
So he had to have a son to give.
Yes.
Right? So Jesus was the begotten Son before he came to earth.
Yes.
And many people believe that he was the begotten Son of God when he was born on the earth, but that's what made him the Son of Man.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and we've talked about this a number of times in the past. If you have any questions on the website, just go to prophecyhope.com and type in begotten Son, and there'll be a whole list of sermons there on that topic.
Here's the reason I'm bringing this up, this verbiage, the firstborn, because it's used in different settings. Christ is called the firstborn of creation.
Right.
He was the rightful heir of his father. He was the firstborn, the only begotten son, and thus he partook in that creation of the earth.
Yes, he did. He was there. And let's just give a proof text for that. Okay. You mind if we do that?
Yeah, Hebrews?
Yeah, Hebrews or Colossians,
okay.
Either one.
You go to Colossians, I'll go to Hebrews.
All right, very good. And you're going to be there before I am because you're using your computer there. That thing is lightning fast.
You don't know how computer illiterate I am. All right, Hebrews chapter 1.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read the first three verses.
Sure.
It starts out as, "God, who at many times and in many ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the shining splendor of his glory, an express image of his essence, and upholding all things by the word of his power, through himself cleansing of our sins, he sat down on the right of the majesty on high." There's a lot there.
There is a lot.
But here we see that it is by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, the firstborn of creation, by whom he also made the worlds.
Okay, so all created things, everything that was created, came through Christ Jesus, yes. From the Father through the Son.
God created through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading from the New King James, and I'm going to start in verse 13.
Okay.
It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation.
Yes.
For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist.
Okay, good. There's another reference to firstborn in Christ.
Okay.
He's called the firstborn of the dead.
Verse 18, yes. Right? It says, in the same text, I just read verse 17, it says, And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence.
This text doesn't mean that Christ was first to be raised from the dead, because He wasn't first
Correct.
To be raised from the dead.
Correct.
He is the Son of God, the firstborn, the only begotten Son, who partook in Him into our human nature,
yes.
died for my and your sins, mm-hmm. and was raised again. And thus He's called the firstborn of the dead.
Correct.
The Son of God.
And He has been given immortality as a result of what He accomplished,
yes.
which He will grant to us
yes.
if we're faithful.
Yes.
That's an amazing thought to
yeah.
me. Immortality. You never die. You will never die if you're faithful, according to this. You might die the first death, but you won't die the second death.
Amen. Amen.
So, anyway, that's a beautiful thought, firstborn. And,
yes.
you know, we had talked earlier, right before we had the prayer for the study, we were talking about the series, and mm-hmm. that Abraham had two sons.
Yes.
And these are one of the ones where the one that was born second was called the firstborn.
Yeah, we'll at some point here within the next few weeks get into
That'll be good. I'll zip it up then. Here.
It's going to be in the next chapter, but whenever
you know,
we get there.
I get so excited about this yeah. stuff, Ed. I'm all over
the place. It's really something when you can see phrases in the Bible, and it may be hard to understand in the context that it's being talked about, but if you bring the whole Bible into it, it's just beautiful.
It is. And, you know, I just want to make this suggestion. If you're reading your Bible or you're studying it and you say, you know, I've seen this before, but I can't remember where it is, type it into a search engine like Google
yeah.
and say Bible verse and
yeah.
then just type that phrase in.
Right.
And it very likely it's going to take you right where you need to be.
You know, it will bring up a lot of references. There may be a lot of commentary with those
True.
References. I tend not to look at the commentary, but just look for the verses. And then all verses listed in the commentary whoever's writing that you're looking at will be actually to deal with the subject you're looking for, but there will be some.
Real quick, before we continue.
Yes.
When you said, why is it that you're careful about commentary, Ed?
Because I'm not looking to see what other people think the Bible says. I'm looking for the verses so I could read the Bible for myself to see for myself what it says.
There you go. And this is why when we make a comment here, we want you to go to your Bible.
Yes, don't believe us.
Yeah, because we're doing commentary.
Yes.
Let's face it.
That's what
right?
we're doing. Yeah.
That's what we're doing. But when we take you to the verses and we say, look, here's where it says that Jesus is the firstborn.
Yes.
Here's where it's, now you're reading it from God's Word, and yes. that's so important that you do that.
You know, some people may not understand what I'm going to say here, but I truly believe this with all my heart. The Word of God, there's power in the Word of God, in the Bible, that can teach people things that you and I can't teach.
Very true.
We don't have the words. There's not the power in our words compared to the Word of God. There's something powerful in God's Word. It's been inspired. It can have effect on our hearts and minds where you and I can't have that same effect.
True. We can, you know, as individuals, we can plant seeds.
Yes.
We can plant them. But, you know, even if I put a seed in the ground or I plant a spiritual seed in your mind, I can't make it grow.
Right.
Only God can do that.
Yeah, amen.
So, and that's right from Scripture.
Yes.
So, anyway, let's just, this is really good stuff. Where were you going to take us next?
Romans 8:29 still. There's a word there that you want to talk about.
Yes, you know what that word
yes,
is.
Yes, let me read it from the Modern King James. I think this is probably the same word in your version, the New King James. Mm-hmm. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers.
Hmm.
Conformed to the image of his son, predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son.
So I know that this word predestined or to be predestinated, people have a certain connotation in their mind, and there are some faiths that teach that everything is set, that nothing is, you know, everything is already kind of like it runs like a program, so to speak.
Right.
But if that were the case, why would I pray for certain things? Do my choices affect what happens in my life?
Oh, yes.
Were those choices already set by God, or do I have the free will to be able to make the choice?
Yeah.
These are questions we have to ask ourselves.
So this idea of predestination in this verse, mm-hmm. predestined to conform to the image of his son. Is that what it says?
In this translation, it says, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Word for word, just what you said, yes.
So is that for everyone or just certain people?
I believe that he's given the opportunity for everyone, but we have to make the choice.
Can I share a verse with you that
Please.
Talks about that?
Yes.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 1.
Okay. All things lead back to Genesis.
Genesis chapter 1.
Okay. I had to grab
my 26.
Other Bible. I had to grab my other Bible because okay. this one's so torn up.
All right. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
Mm.
Who is he talking to?
Well, I believe that he was talking to his begotten son,
yes.
Jesus.
And so when in Romans 8, where it says that he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, we were created in his image.
Well, didn't you read that in Hebrews chapter 1?
Yeah.
That the Son is the express image of his Father's uh-huh. person. And then here we look and it says that we are made in the image of God.
Yeah. So when Paul in Romans says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, this is a little bit more than the initial creation of the world.
Okay.
Because we lost something when Adam and Eve sinned.
Yes, we did.
We lost the righteousness of God that we were created to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so Christ came to give us that back.
He did.
So this is why Paul says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to regain that initial standing with God.
So Adam and Eve in the garden had a choice to make.
Yes.
They could follow what God said, or they could follow what the serpent said. That was the choice that
right.
they had. So today we have a choice,
yes.
right? It's the same choice.
We can decide to be a saint
right.
and keep the commandments of God,
right?
Or to follow Satan.
And be a sinner.
Yeah.
For, you know, and be really, then we're destined to eternal death.
No
right?
matter how attractive Satan in the world makes disobedience, the end result is eternal death.
Correct. Yeah. And that means that's the second death
yes.
that we mentioned earlier.
Yes.
That's the eternal death. And it is you know, when we think about these things, eternal life, I think, you know, God has put it in our hearts to want to live forever.
Yes.
So I think the problem with many people today, you know, people have cheapened life. This world cheapens
oh,
it.
Oh, yes.
And I think what happens is we look around us and we say, well, if I have to live like this, I don't want to live forever.
Right.
But what we have to remember is what was lost here in Genesis 1.
Yes.
It was beautiful. There was no death. There was no sin within humanity before Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Everything was lush and vibrant, and they felt good. There was no sickness, nothing. So this is what it's going to be like again when you have eternal life in God's new world.
You know, the world we live in now teaches people to live in the moment.
It does.
To not consider the consequences of your choices here on this, not only on this earth, but for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, friends, you make a choice. There's accountability for those choices you make, whether it's drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen many people in my work as a therapist that have had horrible consequences of those choices.
Yeah.
But there's also eternal consequences for each choice that we make in life. So instead of living in the moment, we need to consider and think about what choice I make. Not only the consequences for myself and my family and loved ones around me, because if I have a spinal cord injury or a head injury from drinking and driving, it's going to affect everyone around me.
Absolutely, it will.
But also the eternal consequences of possibly being denied eternal life.
Yeah. You know, now is the time to get your life right.
Yes.
Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. And, you know, you're going to hear us say this a lot. You know, I really think that if you are in a place in your life, and this is why, you know, Paul understands this in Romans. If you're in a place in your life where you are living not according to God's word,
yes,
not according to the life that Jesus lived, pray about it.
Yes.
Ask God to help you.
There's extreme power in prayer.
There is.
Anyone with a sincere heart is truly seeking a change in their life. God will do it for you through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes. And this is, keep in mind, as we talked about it last week, we've talked about it weeks before, Jesus is your advocate. He is your intercessor. He is your mediator. He knows what it's like to feel the weaknesses that we feel today.
He experienced life on this earth. He was in all ways tempted like we were, yet without sin. Because he chose to be obedient to his Father, he chose to put his faith and his trust in the will of his Father and his God.
Yeah. And, you know, to some people it sounds like a fantasy.
Yeah.
And it could be because maybe you haven't read the Gospels, maybe you haven't looked through, or maybe you haven't seen proof of certain things.
Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with God and his Son.
True. Ask for that.
Yes.
Some people have prayed, they're like, well, I don't believe, but I want to believe.
Yeah.
Right? So have that prayer. Help me in my unbelief.
Yes.
And God answers prayers. He is the hearer of prayers. But this word predestined, it always bothers me that many people misunderstand that, to think that everything is set. But that goes contrary to, it says that God doesn't will for anyone to die,
right,
but wants all to come to a knowledge, to repent.
Yes.
So if he predestined us, then why would he want us to repent?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have that choice.
God's will for his creation was to have a perfect creation.
Mm.
But he also allowed the human race to make a choice. He wants a relationship built on love, not on fear, not on force.
Mm.
So he offers you this opportunity. Look at the love that God has shown for everyone in this world by giving us the gift of his Son.
Amen.
You can reject that. Mm-hmm. You can choose not to believe that.
Yeah.
But you can choose to believe it, and your life will be changed through the power of the Son of God.
Hmm. Ed, I'm looking at your shirt. Your t-shirt says, "My Confession, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God."
That's Peter speaking in Matthew 16.
And really, at that moment, what was Peter doing? He was professing faith.
Yes.
Accepting Christ is that simple, but you have to accept him, and then he will change you if you allow him to.
Yes, it's just like any new relationship. Mm. The more you're involved in communication and being together in that relationship, the tighter the bond grows, the more knowledge you have of each other in that relationship. Mm. It's no different with God and his Son.
Right. And, you know, we're not talking about a prosperity type of gospel, because sometimes when you profess that you want to know Christ, life can get more difficult.
Yeah, Satan will attack you.
Yeah.
We've seen it in the people in this ministry.
Yes, we have.
Satan attacks them extremely hard.
But when they come to Christ and they stand firm, what has been the result?
A dramatic increase in faith.
Yeah, and happiness.
And a closeness in the relationship with the Father and his Son.
Yeah. So, you know, God is reaching for people.
Yes.
I mean,
he's seeking you out.
He is. And you have that choice, friends. And this is why we do this. This is why we do these studies, to help people to recognize that there is a Savior who wants to save your life and give you eternal life, not in this world as we know it.
Yes.
It's in this world recreated to a beautiful park where there's no sickness or death.
You know, I think we are so conditioned, so used to the way things are in this world, we can't imagine anything different.
It's true. It's so true. So, you know, when we think about being glorified, Christ was glorified. And we're promised that if we are faithful, we will receive glorified bodies.
Yes.
Whatever ailments you have, whatever it is, whether you, like some of your clients, have had spinal injuries or paraplegics, quadriplegics, some may wear glasses or hearing aids, or, you know, I have a, right now, sitting here, my left shoulder's been bothering me today, and that won't be. I won't have that.
Right.
And it's very real. I know to some people it says, well, that just sounds like a dream. Well, you know, it's a reality.
When Christ came to this earth, when he started his ministry about the age of 30, mm-hmm. and called his disciples together, they went around preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel wasn't just words.
Right.
He went through towns and healed every single disease, whether it was spiritual, mental, physical, mm-hmm. he caused healing to take place.
He fed them as well.
Yes. He fed them spiritually as well as physically.
That's right.
This is what God desires to do in your life today.
Mm.
And it just gives us a glimpse of what will happen when Christ comes again. It talks about the dead in Christ being raised from the dust, from sleep.
Hmm.
Not as they were.
Right.
Not in their amputated leg or their paraplegic body.
Right.
But they'll be whole.
They'll be complete. You know, it's such a beautiful thing to think about what that's going to be like. And I know to some people it doesn't... It may not seem real, but if you think about what Jesus did when he was here, you know, millions of people read the Bible and they've studied it enough that they know that these accounts are not just fables and fairy right. tales, because they've seen the prophecies that have happened.
And being fulfilled.
Yeah. And so it's been 100% so far. So when it makes these prophetic, prophecies, when it gives these prophecies, I believe they will happen as it's told. I really do.
Mark, can you read Romans 8, verses 31 through 34?
Sure. It says, "What shall we say to these things? Or what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Christ, our intercessor. Mm. So in verse 32, well, for the 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Mm. Now, there's going to be people against you if you're actually a Christian. There's,
yes.
But they're not going to be able to overcome you. They can't. You'll be in the hand of God. Mm. But look at verse 32. Truly he who did not spare his own son. Do you think God loved his son?
Oh, absolutely.
But he didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, some of us?
No.
For us all. Because he did those things, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hmm. So let's look at this verse a little bit. I'm going to read the easy-to-read version of verse 32.
Okay.
It says, he even let his own son suffer for us. God gave his son for all of us. So now with Jesus, God will surely give us all things. Hmm. So, Mark, could you look up John chapter 3?
Sure.
And read verses 16 through 21.
All right, John 3, 16 through 21. I'm reading from the New King James. We should all be familiar with this verse. And usually we just read this verse,
yes,
right? But it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.
So here we have an example of God not sparing his own son, but delivered him up for all of us. God sent his son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Oh, yeah. God's desire is to have everyone experience salvation through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But there's those in the world that love darkness versus light. Christ is the light of God sent into the world to help us overcome sin in our lives, to cause change to occur in our lives. But there are those who want nothing to do with Jesus Christ.
So, Ed, you mentioned causing change in our lives.
Yes.
Okay, we've talked about that before. You've mentioned the song that was written about what about the change,
yeah,
right? And about the bracelet and the bumper sticker and the necklace, right?
Yeah.
So this means that this salvation, we can have benefits from that today.
Oh, yes.
Before this new world, before this new heavens and new earth,
right,
we can experience this. So when I look back on my life, and this is just a personal testimony, I thought I was happy before I really knew Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I thought I was happy. And for the most part, I was enjoying life. But now reflecting back, I look back and I say, it was really an empty life.
Mm.
And it was really kind of futile. There was just, what was I going to do? Where was it going to lead me? And even the benefits that I can have today by knowing Christ. One of the examples is something as simple as, what does the Bible say about diet? And just by going by what the Bible recommends about certain foods you should abstain from, mm-hmm, certain things you should stay away from, My health has improved as a result of that. My cholesterol came down. I was on cholesterol medicine.
Wow.
So you see, it's not just long-term eternal benefits.
Right.
That's the icing on the cake. But you can have benefits today.
Benefits that will, for your health, as you say, maybe you stop doing drugs. Maybe you stop drinking.
Yeah.
Maybe you stop immoral relationships.
Yes.
All for your benefit.
Absolutely. And for the benefit of others.
Yes.
It's remember that keeping the commandments is not just love of God, it's love of neighbor.
Right.
And by doing those things, you're not just benefiting yourself, but those around you as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes we always say, but that's so far off. Well, we don't know how far off it is.
You don't know when your last breath will be.
So true. So true. Anything could happen. So this is why we're so so adamant about saying, look, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time.
Yeah.
You know, I would guarantee you, Ed, that the vast majority, if not all, of the people, all of your patients that you had didn't expect what happened to them. They thought that the next day they were just going to be going through life just like they always had.
That's right.
And just in an instant, their life took a turn, whether it was something that they had done in their life that caused that or somebody else imposing on them something they didn't expect.
Right.
That's how fast life can take a turn. That's why it's so important.
Yes. Let's look a little bit more about this idea of Romans 8:23 that God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all. So let's go to the book of Isaiah.
Okay.
Chapter 53. And let's just read the whole chapter.
All right.
It's only 12 verses.
That's not much, is it? I guess it depends on who's reading.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to read this?
Can you read that for me, please?
Okay. Well, I guess it's pretty long then. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him."
This is talking about Jesus.
Yes. So when it says he has no form or comeliness, what does that mean?
It means he wasn't a rock star. He wasn't some athlete that was just all fit and trim. Mm. He didn't have those physical attractions to the rest of the world. His attraction to the world was his character.
Yeah. So people would look at him and just consider him just a regular old guy, right? By appearance.
Yeah.
And so many of us judge a book by its cover, so to speak, right? And, you know, when you look at a Bible and you just say, well, that's just a plain old black or brown or maroon book, right? It's not.
No.
Don't judge it by its cover.
It will change your life.
It will. So, all right, so it's talking about he has no form or comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. That's what it says at the end of verse 2. And you stop me at any point, Ed.
Okay.
Verse 3, it says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way. And Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He has taken from prison and from judgment, or he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him, that he would put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Our intercessor, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In verse 5 it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
He bore the penalty for my sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquity is just simply sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was chastised so we can have peace through him.
Amen.
And with his stripes, we ourselves are healed, because he paid the penalty for you and my sins.
Mm. You know, when we look at this and we think about what took place here, you know, it says he opened not his mouth. He was led in verse 7 as a lamb to the slaughter.
Yeah.
And we know that Jesus is called the Lamb of God. We know that this was pictured in the book of Genesis. So we see this plan of salvation from the very beginning.
Yes.
Right from the very beginning, from the first time that sin entered this world, God laid this out.
He initiated the plan of salvation.
For every living person. For every living person. And, you know, it's amazing. Again, this, I want you to notice what it said, if I can find it here. Oh, in verse 12.
Okay.
It says, further down in verse 12, it says, he bore the sin of many. That's those who will accept him.
Accept that gift.
Yes.
That free gift.
So he did it for everyone, but not all will accept it.
It's a gift you can't purchase.
Mm.
You can't reimburse him for. It's free for the taking.
Amen. It is. It's a gift. And you can accept or reject it, just like anything.
Yeah.
Just like any gift that's given to you. You don't have to take it. But it's there for you if you want it.
All right. In Romans 8:32, it says that truly he, God, did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So mm-hmm. Let's look at this last part, how God and his son Jesus Christ freely give us all things.
Okay.
I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just going to simply read verses 1 and 2. Again, this is the modern King James. Therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God. So Jesus is the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, because he knew that there was going to be a fruitage of his death on the cross, he despised the shame of the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. After Christ was raised up, he returned to heaven after in Acts chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God to be our high priest, to be our intercessor, to be our advocate, our comforter.
Yes, our mediator.
Our mediator, yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to John 16.
Okay.
And Mark, can you read verses 16 through 24?
Sure. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. These are Jesus' words here, beginning in verse 16. It says, a little while, and you will not see me. and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, What is this he says to us? A little while, and you will see me, and again a little while, and you will... in a little while you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
Here, this is before Christ's death and crucifixion. Mm-hmm. The day before.
Yes.
And he's told them in this conversation of John chapter 13 through 17 that he's going to be going away. Where he's going, they can't go with him. But he says, you know, you'll see me again. Mm-hmm. He said, you're going to have sorrow for a while, but then it will turn to joy. Joy because Christ will be raised from the dead. And he says in verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say to you that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Mm-hmm. Before now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So here in Romans 8:32, it says, you know, God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? All we need to do is ask.
Yeah. We do.
Mark, can you read John 14:12 through 14?
Sure. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. Again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
So here we have verses about the Father giving us freely all things, as well as Christ giving us freely all things. Mm. Does it take faith?
Yes.
Yes.
It surely does. It surely does. You know, so we can see the importance of knowing Jesus, because he's the one that brings us to the Father.
Yes.
Right? And he's the one that brings the Father to us.
Yes. So both important.
Both very important. Remember, we talked about that mediation the other week. A mediator doesn't just go one way.
Yeah.
So I really hope that, you know, how far do we get? Where do we stop, Ed?
We stopped at 34.
At verse 34.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to talk about verse 33 next.
Okay. We have just a couple of minutes.
All right.
Is that going to give us enough time?
Not to completely talk about it. It will give us a start.
Okay.
Okay, it says, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Mm. What does that word justify mean?
You know, when I know that, I guess it means to make things right, or to sanctify means to make holy.
Right.
What would be the definition of justify biblically when we look at that?
Well, let's look at Romans chapter 3.
Okay.
And do we have time to read 19 through 31?
Let's see. Let's see if we do. Let me look at that. 19. I think so. I think you should read that.
All right.
Because you've got the modern King James. We have about 2 minutes.
Verse 19. But we know that whatever things the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be under judgment before God. It excludes no one.
Right.
Because the works of the law, because by the works of the law, none of the all flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law is the knowledge of sin. But now a righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ, towards all, upon all who believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness through the passing by of the sins that had been taken place before, in the forbearance of God, for the display of his righteousness at this time, for him to be just and be forgiving the one being of the faith of Jesus. Are you of the faith of Jesus? Mm-hmm. Then where is the boasting? It is excluded. What of law? What of works? But no, through the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only, and not also of the nations, talking about the Gentiles? Yes, of all the nations also, since it is one God who will justify circumcision by faith and non-circumcision through faith. Do we then make the law void through faith? Let it not be, but we establish the law.
So we're going to have to pick this up next week. So maybe we'll reread this and discuss it and go into it.
Yes.
So we're sorry we're out of time, friends, but this has been a really good study. And I hope it's moved you to want to know Jesus Christ and his Father. So let's have a closing prayer.
All right.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I just ask that you will bless each person that is listening. Help them to make a decision if they haven't already for you and your son. And Father, please be with us until we come together again. We ask for your spirit, for wisdom, for your direction in all things we do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Ed, thanks for being here and for leading this study. And we look forward to next week. Friends, we'll be back next Sunday, 7 p.m., Lord willing, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.